conversations, interviews, rants, and discussions about society, technology, food, art, culture, games, music, education, business, community building and marketing, communications, board games, old science, new cars, body piercing, body painting, competitive eaters, zombies and vampires, and more. You're listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk.
His head was so much disproportionately bigger than his body that we called him Lono Head. I think PPC gets a bad rap at times for always being that transactional piece. Don't get me wrong. There are times when we need to go out on the street and spin some signs. When they haven't done their due diligence, that's when you see those misses. It's either the wrong audience or it's just really not a compelling message. You have a compelling message to put in front of them. You could do it with $500 a month.
Hello, this is Harry Hawk, and this is Talking About Everything. And today we are talking with Michael McEwen. And Michael has a really interesting and rich history in a really core and key area of internet marketing or even advertising promotion. First of all, Michael, welcome to the show.
Harry, thanks for having me on board.
So I've told everybody you've got an interesting background, but you may have noticed I didn't actually tell them what it is that you do.
So I've been in pay-per-click advertising practically my whole kind of career journey. And that really started with, when I was trying to make it in LA. So I graduated from Hawaii at the time, moved to LA, and was just struggling to find a job overall. So I came back home to Arizona with my tail between my legs. Company picked me up and kind of taught me the ropes on pay-per-click advertising. And I started with a very large book of business and kind of the SMB market. And then from there, grew a team at Gannett. So Gannett, you might know by like the newspaper and the broadcast side of things. They really hadn't dabbled into online, especially with advertising for their clients. So I built out a division there, and that's really where I kind of honed my chops, really started to truly understand what advertising at scale kind of looked like. And from there, I moved over to San Francisco, where I worked on ad tech side. So I worked platform side, a little company called AdStage, where they plug in all five of the major ad networks. So Google, Bing, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter as well. My recent capacity is in-house. I wanted to, so as much as I've loved to deal with kind of clients, I love tinkering and toying around with different things. So current capacity is at Double Dutch. I'm running inbound, generating leads for our sales reps here, a very aggressive and very hungry sales force here. That's where I call home. So today, it's a mix between paid advertising, marketing automation, analytics, and operations.
I just want to unpack a little bit of that, but it's great. You've been on the ad selling side, the ad technology that supports ad sales, and you've been, if you will, on the client side, somebody who's seeking to advertise. Am I correct on all three sides of that triangle?
That is correct.
I think most people will know, certainly, pay-per-click is one of several ways that an advertiser, or again, any of these mechanisms, Facebook, Twitter, Google, and so forth, sell an ad, and the customer, the person buying the ad, only pays when somebody clicks. But are we using pay-per-click or PPC as a euphemism for some of the other ways that ads work, or do you literally specifically mean that?
Basically, euphemism in that pay-per-click, when most people think about it, is very search-specific. But the game has changed considerably when you start to look at most of the social channels, retargeting a couple of those other players. So it's a very broad term for essentially getting your message found online by getting it in front of that potential prospect or buyer the most effectively. And so that's really where I call home.
PPC or pay-per-click, why don't you give us some of the other kind of payment transactional kind of opportunities that there are when you're paying for this kind of reach or influence?
Sure. So with pay-per-click, I mean, you can, it varies on the type of pricing model, but at the end of the day, you're trying to get in front of the right people with that message. So you might do it from an impression standpoint. You simply just want to get your brand message seen multiple times. You might do something like a cost per view, which means that you have a video out there and you want to get a lot of people kind of looking at it, interacting with that. And then you also have engagement models as well, where instead of necessarily trying to get someone to come to your website, You might just want them to interact with that piece of content or the ad itself. At the end of the day, what I kind of call the realm of PPC is spending money to get in front of a prospect or a buyer who is most likely to be interested into your services.
Is there a process? Obviously, part of this is having great content to put in front of them, and it could be literal content or it can be an ad. Obviously, there's a spectrum, and we spend a lot of time talking about, at least in my area, of kind of very transactional messages versus very giving kind of informational, educational messages. I assume you're talking about a mix of content?
Absolutely. So it could be content for a hard transactional sale, anything from like e-commerce to something like getting a demo. And then it could be very soft, like simply just introducing your brand, some more of an awareness, or more of like a thought leadership piece. So for example, at my last capacity at AdStage, we took the perspective of we were an advertising platform, but we felt that we had a responsibility, if you will, to actually educate and make advertisers become better at their jobs. So instead of focusing on a product, we instead were putting out articles to help someone, a step-by-step guide, become a better advertiser that we learned those ropes. So when we talk about content, I don't always want to frame it as, I think PPC gets a bad rap at times for always being that transactional piece, but it can also be used to bring out thought leadership, to educate other people, and really just tell a fantastic story.
Often I compare the two to one is the guy on the corner with a spinning sign, and the other may be a really great lecture or sermon or just, as you said, you know, an absolutely fantastic monologue.
I think that's a very fair analogy. And don't get me wrong, there are times when we need to go out on the street and spin some signs.
Absolutely. There's a certain point in all business that we need to ask for the sale. Would you like to buy this today? One of the problems of modern marketing, in my mind, I often like to put the word digital in front of it, so like digital mass marketing, is that we've blended a lot of skills. There's a lot of blending between PR and marketing and advertising, and then in the organization, the marketing department and the sales department, and even customer service, even on some level HR, has blended. Who is speaking and when they're speaking isn't as structured as it might have been, you know, 50 years ago or going back, you know, even further to our, you know, classical kind of sales, you know, the classic salesman in play or movie, Glenn Ross.
I think any sales guy that you've ever spoken to will at least quote one or two lines from that film. When you were talking about like how roles are shifting and how departments are kind of blending those lines, I think that's a very fair analogy. I think startups are the ones that you're really seeing push that kind of boundary. So whereas a Fortune 500 has very defined roles, startups today need to be very scrappy. And you see these companies emerge and they don't need huge budgets. Really just being in the digital space, it kind of leveled the playing field in many areas. So you'll see something like a demand guy, he'll come out, he'll do SEO, he'll do paid advertising, he'll go speak, he'll do content, he or she. So you'll see a lot of times with these scrappy startups that they wear many hats. And I think people take notice of that, how much ground they can cover. And that started to evolve people's roles as well into the bigger organization.
And I think what I've seen in some of the thought leadership, even on the compensation side, where obviously sales were traditionally commission-based, that marketing was typically budget-based, and they're kind of blending, even in some larger companies, the compensation where marketing is being paid in part based on the quality of the leads that they're delivering. What I wanted to ask you then, because you mentioned something earlier about Gannett, and you talked about doing this at scale, and we've also just now talked about startups. And so if we're thinking of this like Play-Doh or Silly Putty, what's your personal take on how scalable both up and down this PPC marketing is? Can it work for an individual as well as, you know, the world's largest company?
It can. It just really comes down to the marketer itself. So I think with any of these, of course, bigger budgets are going to have bigger reaches, more data behind it. And that can scare off a lot of small companies. They are a little bit gun shy to put some dollars down because to them, they need that money to really return. You'll find, though, with mediums like Facebook and others, is you can get so pinpointed with your message. If you really understand your buyer, you have a compelling message to put in front of them, you could do it with $500 a month. Like, you don't necessarily need those multi-million dollar budgets to move the needle. As long as you have that strong message and content, you've done your research, that's where PPC can be that vehicle. I think where you see a lot of the horror stories are when they haven't done their due diligence. What they're putting in front of them is either the wrong audience or it's just really not a compelling message. And so that's when you see those misses.
I want to talk about a sort of audience engagement and conversion and also metrics analysis and action. Assume I'm a small business or a business of any size and I'm going to dip my toe in the water. What's the measurement of that? Are we just looking at engagement? Are you crafting personas? Are you fine-tuning them? Are you using focus groups? What goes into finding and presenting to that audience?
I think if you're starting from the very beginning, I actually would caution around using paid media. I think that first one is really just investing into content and really quality content. So it's just your time is the only kind of hard cost there. So once you get an audience there, they start consuming your content, you'll get a lot of insights from, you know, something as free as Google Analytics. It's free to put on your website. It'll tell you some really great insights into how long people are staying and reading your content, what's the best content, and where they're coming from. And from those insights, then you can start to build a base and research, and then you can start to use that for advertising. So I would look at advertising as a way for you to quickly understand the market and make changes. So initially you create the content, you're understanding which content pieces are working well, you're understanding maybe what geographies they're coming from, you're starting to better understand your audience. So you get a hypothesis. And then with that, you're going to put a little bit of money and you're going to figure out what's working the best. I think the art of PPC is really coming from a sound hypothesis of what you think will work against an audience, checking back, you know, after a significant amount of time, so a week or two, to see how the results have been. If it's not going your way, maybe you don't advertise that audience anymore. And if it's doing very well, maybe you double down. So that it's kind of a scientific approach. But when you were talking about personas, getting feedback, I think a lot of those standard marketing practices still apply. You still want to talk to your customers. You still want to talk to prospects and just understand better what they like about your service or product or what they don't, what your competitors are doing. So you still kind of have to do your due diligence. Digital is not going to be some transformational thing where you can turn it on and it will be all automated and all of a sudden you're reigning in revenue. You still have to do your research and you have to know your audience.
So if I can unpack that, we're saying ultimately, if your company's message isn't working organically, you're not going to be able to amplify it.
That's a very fair statement.
The sales funnel. And again, I think anybody who's in traditional sales understands this, but I think we may have people listening today who aren't really salespeople. And so I know that I can take a funnel and put some oil in my car or some liquid into a container. What does that have to do with sales? And what does really that have to do with marketing and advertising?
I think a good analogy there is you look at like a tree root. So water comes down, like it'll rain, and only some will make it down to those roots. And the right root will help the tree grow. And it's the same way with kind of advertising overall. So a lot of marketers, they're very good at creating a lot of demand, so a lot of leads. At the very beginning, you're going to cast a wide net, try to figure out what's working. You start to refine things, and that's where it's really going to impact sales. Really, you start to see marketers understand how they're impacting sales, where before it was just all about generating as many leads as possible. Now they're talking and they're collaborating with sales to see, okay, were those leads quality? Did they actually turn into viable business for us? So you see those marketers actually take more responsibility. They have a bigger seat at that revenue table.
The idea that there is this sales funnel, that we are casting nets of content out there, we're using metrics and analysis to scientifically, as you say, kind of understand when our message is working and using that to shift the message or shift our dollars. And then there's this idea, because of the funnel, as we're getting down to quality, as we're getting down to what works, that we can send out different bits of content. So we're casting wide to bring a large audience in. And after we start to interact with that group and see who's most interested, we try to direct them to the next set of content that ultimately perhaps gets down to a very transactional message or some kind of transactional activity, having them call up for something. It may be having them download something, but whatever, ultimately a sale has an opportunity to happen. Am I describing that properly?
Yes, like fishing. So at first, trying to troll the whole entire lake, and you're trying all these baits and you're trying a bunch of nets. It might get you some fish, maybe the wrong type of fish, maybe some junk in there. And then as you start to really refine and understand things better, you'll find the right bait. You'll find the right type, you know, the right area of the lake. And then you'll find those fish that are best. You don't want a bunch of trash coming in your nets and those kind of things. So at first, you're casting a very wide net. Then you're learning from it what's working, what's not. And then you're finding your right bait and your right place in that lake to get you the best kind of fish.
All right. I think this is great. I think what we've talked about so far today is the core process of how online advertising works. We've talked about how it relates to traditional sales and traditional marketing, and we've talked about how it can work at scale on huge levels, and we've talked a little bit about how it can work on a smaller basis. I think there's a lot more that I'd love to get into on this, but we're running out of time. Do you have time for an overtime conversation?
Sure.
All right. So that's great. Before we go into overtime, though, Michael, could you take a moment and tell folks where to find you on the internet?
Yes. Yeah, so you're happy to chat. The @ LONOHEAD on Twitter. Or you can find me as Michael McEwen on LinkedIn, and we can chat some more about advertising in general.
Michael, is there any question that I haven't asked, or something that you might want to say related to this conversation before we end this part of the interview?
If you work in an organization where there's a sales team and a marketing team, as a marketer, you really will learn the most if you actually go and talk to your sales team and better understand like how those actual leads or those people that you're bringing in there are performing. And that was a rookie mistake for many years that I didn't have insight into. So just for an example, you as a marketer may think you're doing very well. And then when you lift under the hood, maybe the leads weren't as quality as you'd thought. Sometimes you might find that a lead that costs you a little bit more actually turns into bigger sales or bigger business for your organization. So I think the leaving note would be, as you're experimenting, as you're figuring out the space, be very close with the people on your sales team to understand how things are actually performing.
That is true words of wisdom. And if I could add to that, I would say also on the story selling side, make sure if you happen to be a marketer that you're talking to your PR people or somebody in PR, because those people are really great at telling stories. The salespeople are really great at building personal relationships. And if you're in marketing, you need to work with both those worlds, with both those skill sets.
There is, I think as an analytical person, it's very hard for us to come up with compelling content. And you were spot on in saying, if you work with your PR folks, no one knows how to tell a story about the brand better, and it will make you a better advertiser when you can reach your audience with things that are very compelling. So your PR team is going to be a huge asset for you to tell a better story.
Well, we're out of time for this part of the interview, Michael. I really appreciate you being here. If you folks have been listening, send a message to me and Michael on Twitter. I'm Harry Hawk. You can find me on Twitter at HHAWK. You can find this website, talkingabouteverything.com, at the nearest browser, and of course on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Well, this is Harry Hawk saying, I hope you have a great week. Bye-bye.
My name is Chuck Fresh, and I am being paid to thank you for listening to Talking About Everything with Harry Hawk. Harry wants to hear from you on Twitter at HHawk or HarryHawk at gmail.com. And now, a word from our sponsor, Life Extension Coach and favorite chef. Hawk Digital Marketing is focused on bringing brands and people together. We build communities of interest based on trust and transparency, where consumers and brands can converse, learn, discuss, or solve problems together, while creating a long-term connection, entanglement, between you and your customers. Once connected, we help you engage, communicate, sell, present, educate, and inform. Evolve your communications with us. HawkSocialMarketing.com.